walks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animal, talking animal. Must be an animal. Come hear the animals. Talking animals. Talking animal.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guests today are Frank Hamilton, co-founder and president of Animal Coalition of Tampa, ACT, and Ken Donofrio, ACT's marketing and events coordinator. ACT offers low-cost spay-neuter procedures and other medical services for pets. And as you may know, in April, an arsonist set fire to their facility, seriously damaging the building and claiming the lives of three cats who lived there. So today's conversation will provide an opportunity to review ACT's history, both recent and longer term, as well as get an update on how things are going in the wake of the fire, and hear about the 14th annual Stride for Strays, ACT's major fundraiser, to be held this Sunday, October 19th at Raymond James Stadium. Funds raised will be earmarked for rebuilding the clinic. We'll discuss all this with Frank Hamilton and Ken Donofrio in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Later in the show, we'll speak briefly with Patricia Massari, one of the coordinators of the Tampa Bay Walk for Farm Animals, a fundraising event for Farm Sanctuary taking place November 1st at Spa Beach Park in St. Petersburg. Before we go any further, though, I want to take a moment to thank everyone who supported Talking Animals and me in WMS Fall Membership Drive. We received all kinds of pledges before and during our Fund Drive show 2 weeks ago today, enabling me to reach my fundraising goal and travel a nice distance beyond. I really appreciate the support. Unfortunately, WNF fell short of its overall goal, so the station is still seeking contributions from anyone who didn't have a chance to donate. That can be done online at WMNF.org. And as if you need further incentive, WNF is throwing a listener appreciation party November 11th at Skipper's, featuring Black Taxi and drop-in pickup, so be sure to pledge to get invited to that. Meanwhile, thanks again. Right now, let's jump in to an animal song. This is one not when you could not only have heard on Flea's Fun Drive show, but also could have owned by pledging and getting the Flea CD on that show. This is Good Grave with White Horses Now on Talking Animals.
Little mountains.
That was Good Grief with White Horses. Zippy Animal Song to get us started this morning. Let's move now into our chat with Frank Hamilton and Ken Donofrio about the Animal Coalition of Tampa and its big fundraiser this Sunday, Stride for Strays. With a reminder, we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing us at dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Frank Hamilton and Ken Donofrio to Talking Animals. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals and joining us in studio. It happens all too rarely on this show, so I'm always very enthused when that does come together. So thanks for coming on into WNF Studio today. So let's start asking for an overview of ACT, and I'm figuring some listeners may not be that familiar with the operation. And Ken, again, while these initial questions may be directed to Frank, please feel free to jump in at any point, and then we'll flip things around, of course, when we reach the Stride for Strays part of the conversation. So Frank, for instance, when exactly was ACT founded?
Animal Coalition was founded in May 2001. My wife and I had been working with a rescue group since 1995. And in 2000, we decided to do a little background and research and figure things out a little bit more so we could be a little bit more methodical in our approaches. And what we quickly realized, although we were very proud of this particular rescue group because we had adopted out 350 animals, all volunteer, all nights and weekends, that was how many animals were euthanized in the first 4 days of the year in our county. And so we both looked at each other and said, we could probably keep adopting from now until forever, and never really approach the problem. So we took 6 months and we researched. We went to conferences, we called people, we did everything. And what we found was that there were solutions to this problem. And the first big The choice you really have, there's two things you can do. You either stop them from going into the shelters, and that's done through keeping animals in the home proactively, or aggressive spay neuter, targeted spay neuter. Or once they get in the shelter, that you figure out innovative ways to get them back out again through adoptions and transfers to rescue groups and things like that. Well, what we had decided to do, what Linda and I decided to do, her first love is cats. And there was one particular population that was not being addressed. And that was what we now call community cats. And those are the cats that live outdoors. And so
What other people might recognize as feral cats?
As feral cats, yes. Yeah. But they're also known as barn cats, neighborhood cats, street cats, porch cats. I mean, they have a variety of names.
Of aliases.
And so you find that they're out there, and if you look at a person, you say, is that your cat? They go, well, no. Well, do you feed them? Well, yes. Okay, well, now we've got to fix them because they're having kittens. And the studies show that the majority of kittens do come from outdoor cats. So in 2001, we founded Animal Coalition, and we founded ourselves as a feral spay-neuter organization modeled on an organization in San Diego, California. And it was all volunteers, including veterinarians, and we would spay neuter anywhere from 50 to 100, 115 cats once a month on a Sunday. For the first 4 years of the organization, we went and borrowed vet clinics and carried our equipment there and showed up, did the cats, and went home. And in 2005, we realized, actually with a little help from some other people, that we needed to do more than just once a month spay neuter. And so in March 2006, we opened a bricks and mortar spay-neuter clinic. Again, focused on spay-neutering of not only feral cats, but people who did not have affordability or accessibility for their animals. And so therefore, they just didn't get them done. And so the cycle continued. So from 2006 to March of 2014, kept doing a little bit more spay-neuter, a little bit more spay-neuter, and a little bit more spay-neuter. And in 2010, we hit our peak at 12,219 spay-neuters of dogs and cats in 1 year, which was pretty good.
Wow, yeah.
It's a big number, yeah.
That is a big number.
And we've stayed above 10,000 ever since. What we did is we actually did surveys of our customers, and we found out that 60% of the animals that were coming to see us had never been to a vet, never. So we had people who were completely not educated about animals. And so we had an aggressive education part. People came back to us and they said, okay, you spay-neutered our animal. You're the only vet we know. I need shots. So we went into doing wellness and doing shots. Again, as a service to keep the animal in the home and out of animal services.
And I guess we should point out, too, that even the people who were only first coming for the spay-neuter and hadn't otherwise seen a vet were also largely drawn because one of the hallmarks of ACT is that those procedures are very low cost, very reasonably priced.
Right. It's reasonably priced. The object of the exercise is accessible veterinary care for everyone. That's really accessible and affordable. Those are the two keywords that are used nationally. We're very much in line with that. And we do that a variety of ways, trying to make sure that the animals in our community are taken care of. They are healthier, longer term, by staying in the home, and they're not having puppies or kittens. So, you know, through March of 2014, we were celebrating in March of 2014 because we had spay-neutered 80,000 animals, dogs, cats, rabbits, pigs, a rat or two, believe it or not.
I've never seen any rats, but yeah.
Well, I'm gonna take Frank's word for it somehow.
I believe it. It's very interesting to work with such high quality vets who really believe in the mission, and the mission is to end the animal suffering and eventually the euthanasia. And so what we do is we benchmark our procedures against what goes on in animal services. That's how we tell we're successful. So we watch the animal services numbers every year. They're live releases, and that's important to us because their euthanasias are going down. The euthanasia rate in Hillsborough County has dropped by over 50% since we've been open. And I'm not saying that's all our fault. It takes a community to do this. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of moving parts in Hillsborough County. Rescue groups, people who care, the voucher program. I mean, there are a number of programs that are all working together with the target of lowering those numbers, lowering the euthanasia numbers and raising the live release numbers. Well, in April, we had a fire. A disgruntled homeless person, and he brought a dog in to be seen. And if you are walking in our clinic, just like if you're walking in any other clinic, you normally end up waiting for a while. And he was not happy about that. And
not happy about having to wait.
Not happy about having to wait. Mm-hmm. And he had a little discussion with our front desk, and the front desk said, you know, you have to wait. And he yanked his puppy, and from what I have been told, he kicked the puppy in the lobby. Our staff is very mission-oriented, and so they didn't take to that too well. So an altercation arose. The police were called. Police asked him to leave, and he did. He broke into our clinic, and then on Saturday morning, the day before Easter, he set fire to the clinic. We had three house cats, Jazz, Boy, and Mama Cat, and all three died of smoke in the fire. That fire put 55 employees out of work, and we were closed for 3 weeks. We opened again. We were very fortunate. We had moved into this beautiful new building, and the building we moved out of never was rented again. So moved back to our old building. I was actually reading a biography of Winston Churchill last night, and there's a quote in there that resonated with me, and that is, the sign of a winner is when they're hit and they're down, they get back up. And people have asked me over and over again, how did you do this in 3 weeks? Well, I got a great staff.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, just from observing from this vantage point, it was pretty remarkable because I figure devastating the damage, devastating that the three cats perished. When I got that notice 3 weeks later, you guys, it was limited time, of course, but I mean, the fact that there was any version of ACT 3 weeks later was just kind of mind-blowing.
Well, it was a lot of work, a lot of volunteer help from a lot of places. Big Cat Rescue stepped up and helped us clean equipment. We were very fortunate in the fire that none of our surgical equipment, none of our tables, our autoclaves, the surgery lamps were destroyed. We could clean them and we could start again, the anesthesia machines. Now, I have just, that sounds like a real compact sentence, but I have just said $100,000 worth of equipment. And so that was...
And you were able to, because it was undamaged, move that over to what was the old building, now the new...
Right, the new old the new old building.
Right, right.
We did lose an X-ray machine in the fire, and you know, so we did have losses. Don't get me wrong; we lost all our computers. We lost a number of other things, but we had the basis for being able to start back. So we started back 3 weeks later, and we started a piece at a time. When you look at it from a business perspective, we really had six different things that we were doing. And that we were doing the spay neuters, we were doing specialty surgeries, we were doing wellness, we were doing dentals, we were selling product online and across the counter. We were doing doctor's appointments, especially. We can't do all of that because we moved from 7,000 square feet back to 2,800 square feet. So as of today, we have 44 employees working. And we have no room.
Of that original 55.
Of the original 55. But we have no room for any more. And we're not doing all those things because we have no room for it. And so our goal is to move back into the building we were out of. We love the building. We had a great landlord. We want to move back there. Right now where we are, is it's between the landlord and his insurance company.
Oh, is there a snag there?
There is a snag.
About the claim?
There is a difference in what he's had three contractors come in and give him bids. Mm-hmm. The contractors are remarkably close. The insurance company is way apart.
Those three bids are as close as they are. Or well beyond what appropriate to pay on a claim.
Right. So we're right now in between. We're just waiting. I'm sure the landlord is you know, every week he gets a call from us, or he sees us, or he comes over to the building and we go, okay, can we move yet? So we're anxious to move back.
But what Frank will bust this impasse, because it sounds like the insurance company is saying, well, here's as much as we'll go, and the landlord saying, well, here's the bids I'm getting, and that's a pretty big gap. So how do you travel that gulf, or how does that get resolved?
Unfortunately, I have a sneaky suspicion it's going to get resolved probably in court.
Mm-hmm. I thought that may be where this is heading.
There are a few other things that are going on that are between the landlord and I really don't want to discuss it this time.
Sure,
nothing that we have an impact on, but we're just kind of an interested observer to all of this.
Yeah. The sooner this gets resolved, gets rebuilt, you guys move back in and function at full speed.
And from the day it gets resolved between our landlord and the insurance company, it's approximately 5 months for the build-out. So
the more time that passes, still looking at 5 months from whenever it gets resolved, which is already feels like probably way too long to everybody.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I probably get asked the question, I don't know, 5 or 6 times a week. And we're going to have a fundraiser on Sunday, which Ken's going to talk about in a minute. But I'm going to see 300, 400, 500 people, and I can guarantee you that this is a question that keeps coming up because people want to see us back doing everything that we were doing.
Of course. Well, just, you know, as a measure of that, you know, the impact and the importance of that, just how quickly you were able to reopen after that, the community obviously has really seen the impact that ACT has had on those numbers and probably feels incredibly frustrated that, while appreciative that you're up and running in pretty good-sized capacity, that you're still not able to function at full capacity and because of what sounds like...
I might also say that, you know, you obviously can see it, but the listeners can probably also hear it. You know, Frank and Linda are very passionate about what they do.
Sure.
I mean, and it was that passion that I saw that made me want to join on and help them with their marketing and their major fundraisers and things like that.
Yeah.
But When the community sees that, when the community comes together, as they did, both right after the fire and even now leading up to STRIDE, you know that the mission that ACT has is genuine, and you know, ACT itself is doing a great service for the community.
For sure.
And I might also add, you know, you heard Frank say, you know, affordable, you know, low cost. Well, he also mentioned high quality vets. So they, you know, should never confuse low cost or affordable with the fact that you're not going to get good care. We have some of the best vets in the business in this town. And, you know, again, it's that type of service that people are getting in the community that brought them together, because they know the value of ACT. And, you know, we really couldn't have done it without them. I mean, yeah. I mean, our volunteers, we love them. Obviously, our sponsors for STRIDE, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, the community came together, and I think Frank will agree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let me let folks know, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, my guests are Frank Hamilton and Ken Donofrio from the Animal Coalition of Tampa, which is holding its annual STRIDE for Strays fundraiser this Sunday, October 19th at Raymond James Stadium. If you'd like to ask Frank or can a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, email dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. Yeah, I think I bring up a really important point, Ken, because people listening who might not be familiar with ACT would think, all right, well, low cost, that, you know, generally means when you go anywhere for low cost, it's, you know, you're compromising on quality. But yeah, I mean, I know some of those vets, many of them have been on this show, and they're, you know, some of the, you know, the best vets in the area, but they just happen to also feel committed to the cause that's being served in the greater, you know, sense of things with ACT's mission.
Yes. The national standard is published in the Journal of the American Veterinary Medical Association, and the article, it was in 2008, and it calls a clinic like ours a high quality, low cost, high volume spay-neuter clinic. I mean, and it uses all those words together, but they were very, very specific about putting high quality first. Quality is critical to us. There are standards of care that we follow, and we're not the only clinic of our ilk. There are now 150 clinics like us around the country, and all of them high quality, low cost.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I mean, because I know so many people, and I guess it's not surprising, maybe grown over the time I've been doing the show, that they adopt a new cat or dog, or adopt an older cat or dog, or somehow through the family or some measure an animal has joined the family, and they say, you know what, I know we got to get them spayed and neutered, but last time I went to a vet and I've got a quote on that, it's like, we can't swing that, but we know we can't not do it. So the next thing you know, it's like, going to ACT. And now I hear all the time, I just came from ACT, this is what ACT did. We just handed off, or got the baton handed off to us from Randy Wynn, the program director, who's, you know, been to ACT. So, but I mean, it's just, I mean, just throwing that out kind of randomly, just because all kinds of folks from all walks of life have known about and learned about ACT, and that's where they go, not just to save a buck, but to save a buck and also get, you know, the same quality of care you'd get at a much higher priced environment, shall we say.
And and please tell your friends.
Right, please tell all your friends.
Yeah, yeah. So, Frank, one other thing, and then we'll probably turn things over to Ken and find out more about STRIDE for STRIDE. But one thing that that people may or may not be as steeped in, depending on how much time they spend over there, apart from getting spay-neuter services, what are some of the other medical services, especially like surgical procedures you alluded to, that that ACT, at least when it's in operating at full capacity, does offer?
Well, I just looked at what we did yesterday, and there are some emergency surgeries that we do almost on a daily basis to older female dogs who have an infected uterus, and it is a killer if it's not gotten to in time. And we probably do, as I say, two or three a week. And these get referred to us by other veterinarians because we can do it at an affordable price. We also have doctor's exams where people can come in and have their animal looked at. We also do, as I said, HeartGuard, heartworm. We do those kinds of testing. Unfortunately, we don't have the space right now to actually treat for heartworm.
Which you did do at the other building.
We were getting ready to do that. Okay. And again, like anything else, we were growing into things that we needed to do.
Right, expanding.
There are several places in town that we refer people to for that. But getting your animal tested for heartworm is very, very important, especially in Florida. Florida and Texas are the two leading states for heartworm. So if a dog's outside for any length of time, it can probably catch heartworm. He or she can. So we do that. We do the dentals, where we got knocked out of dentals completely because of space. In older cats and dogs, dental preventative is very important because it can be a source of infection.
Sure.
So we're just getting ready to start that back up. We've been doing a couple of them, trying to experiment to see how it would fit in the flow. And we will be there will be something forthcoming on that. We're going to be starting that soon on a regular basis. So pretty much anything basic, and I say basic because there are things that we don't treat for cancer or things like that.
Sure.
This is more first line stuff that we will do to help a person with an animal.
Great. Well, let's. I have another question or two, and let's take at least one caller, and then we'll switch over to focusing on Stripe. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Frank and Ken from ACT. Hello, it's you.
You guys have ever heard of, or if you do, or know anybody that does ovary sparing spays?
Sorry, I think the first part of that may not have come through. Can you just briefly repeat your question? I'm so sorry.
Oh, yes. I was wondering if they do or know of anybody that does ovary sparing. They spare the ovaries in a spay.
That's a real good question. It's a discussion that we've talked to the University of Florida Vet School about. The issue that we have, and we have doctors that have looked at it, is we are a volume clinic. And so we process and we look at the number of animals that we can get through. And that's a discussion that we've had, but nothing that we'll do. My best bet would be to send an email, and I know this is going to sound strange, but I do it all the time, to the University of Florida Vet School, or you could actually contact the local Veterinary Medical Association and ask that question, because they should be able to refer you.
Okay, yeah, I have the UF number actually written down already to call them.
Okay, good.
All right.
Great, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Frank, I have another question or two, but maybe we'll circle back to that if we have time. I just want to make sure we don't run out of time with Ken and Stride. But I want to let people know that the website for ACT is actampa.org, and there's all kinds of information there. And this sort of ties into one of our emailers. It says, Frank and Linda are so committed to saving lives. I love them. I urge everyone listening to send support to Animal Coalition. So with that in mind, that might be a perfect transitional point to hand things over for a moment. Although, conversely, Frank, of course, you can jump in, as Ken did during your segment, and to discuss Stride for Strays. So Ken, obviously, this is more your bailiwick. Let's begin on the rudimentary level. What exactly is Stride for Strays?
Well, Stride for Strays is our largest fundraiser of the year. We have two major fundraisers. We have a dinner called Spaghetti in March. But Stride for Strays is really our largest fundraiser. It's a 3K walk. We've done it in a lot of different areas of the city, but we've really now settled on Raymond James Stadium. We're going to be on the south lot of Raymond James Stadium this Sunday. And the walk was really to raise money for the following year. And in this case, that's never been more important. Obviously, as Frank said, we have a clinic to rebuild. We had a lot of early donations early on. Of course, a lot of that money went to our temporary clinic to help get things rolling again. And now we're looking toward 2015. And the walk and having people register to walk their dogs in a 3K walk, we usually walk around the stadium area. That money that's raised by our walkers is key to us really having a good 2015 and keeping things not only affordable for the community, but also in this case, like I said, rebuilding the clinic.
And Ken, sorry, but let me just expand on sort of what Frank was explaining. So if I have this correct, the dispute between the landlord and the insurance company and the finances involved in rebuilding what was damaged in the fire is separate from the monies that would be needed by ACT to sort of rebuild the internal part and get things back up to speed. So that's why, in some ways, Stride is something you've done for years, but maybe more pivotal this year because that money is going specifically to help rebuild the clinic.
Right, because even when the contractors come in and they say, okay, we're going to give you this much to rebuild the clinic, there's so much more for the internals, the equipment, and everything from supplies to just the things we have to do to get the clinic up and running that people don't account for and most definitely insurance doesn't pay for. So because of those operating costs, that's where our gap is, really, and that's where Stride comes in. Anybody can still register. It's strideforstrays.org. You can register, you can walk by yourself, you can form a team. And you know what? You don't even really have to even have a dog to walk. You can walk in memoriam of a dog.
You can walk your imaginary best friend, I suppose, if you're inclined.
Yeah. You're welcome to walk your imaginary dog. We just prefer that you don't have like leashes with no dogs on them because that could be a safety hazard.
Sure.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. And confusing.
Exactly. Yeah. But the great news this year is we've expanded Stride to be a really great event. We've got a free pancake breakfast for the walkers that's going to be provided by McDenton's. And, of course, we have live music. The Lint Rollers, who are a very pet-friendly band, they've been to a lot of different...
As the name might suggest.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Linda happens to love the name, yeah, because she thinks it's perfect.
Sure.
Anyway, we have a lot of events. We've got the Doggy Fun Zone, which is one of these agility courses that if you've never seen your dog in an agility course, well, this is like an agility course on steroids, and you won't believe what your dog can do in the Doggy Fun Zone. So that's coming back this year. We're going to have fire trucks, and I think the firemen are going to be coming along for photo shoots with people. And if you take the right picture, we might even include it in our new ACT calendar that we're going to have next year.
Oh, so, and with the firemen, well, I assume there'll be Dalmatians involved?
We have a Dalmatian rescue that's going to be set up right next to the fire trucks for you to take a picture of.
Could only assume so.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And like I said, we have a lot of people to thank for helping us put this together, but really the main sponsor that's been by our side for a long time has been Petco Foundation. And they have just really come together for us just since 2005, I think it was. And they've really stood by our side to help make Stride the event that it is and the event that it's become. And again, this year, it really looks like we're going to set a record. We've set a goal. We're more than 3/4 of the way there. And there's still a few days left. So we encourage everybody to register and walk. And again, come out for a day of fun. We've got over 100 vendors. We have pet rescues there, too. We'll have an adoptable pet parade. There's just so much going on that it's hard for me to even put it all into words in one radio show.
Let me just hit the key details. Again, it's this Sunday, October 19th. It's at Raymond James Stadium, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Might run to 3, but yeah, 9 a.m. to 2.
Yeah, people are having so much fun, they're going to go probably a little bit longer.
Yep.
So, and again, I think as you've kind of noted, while the 3K walk is a key element of it, A, as you said, you don't have to necessarily have a dog if you want to do the walk, and B, you don't necessarily have to do the walk, and you could still come and enjoy all these other things, including there's all kinds of contests and other...
I want to talk about the contest real quick.
Yeah,
because,
please do.
Sam Ivey, Canine Consultants, is actually helping us put on the pet costume contest this year. And let me tell you, if you saw it last year, you know that this is just one of the most exciting, funniest things you've ever seen. And this year we have one returning again. Veronica Cintron from Bay News 9 will be our host for the pet costume contest. And I think it's going to be a really good time, you know, so find your craziest costume and get your pet dressed up and bring him on out.
Right. So, and by which you mean both the human and the dog are sporting some kind of costume.
Well, you know what? We've had that. Frank knows we've had that happen before where people dress up alike.
Yeah. It's a match set, right?
Or a
mismatch set in some
matched
cases.
Set.
Yeah.
Yes. And, and you kind of wonder where the animal ends and the human begins.
Sure.
And just so you know, it's really not creepy at all.
No.
Not at all. No, it's all fun. And it's all for a great cause because... we really appreciate the support of the community and just coming out and being there and taking part in the day is going to help ACT continue to save lives in 2015.
For sure. Well, let's take another call here before we run out of time. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Oh, they jumped off. Okay, no problem. So we've got contests, we've got the walk, we've got music, we've got adoptable animals, got the agility course, the photo op with the firemen and the Dalmatians.
I think Linda would be upset if I didn't mention one more thing.
Okay, well, I have at least one or two more I was going to ask you about, so fire away,
I'm
please.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, if I don't get this in,
Linda's never going to let me live it down, and the ACT VIP tent.
Oh.
Okay. For every individual walker who raises more than $500 and every team that raises more than $1,000 on their fundraising page, which they can set up at strideforstrays.org, we have a special tent where we're going to be giving massages and some other great benefits, just like you were being treated like a VIP anywhere, like Las Vegas or whatever. So,
like at a music festival or wherever, where there's sort of the VIP section and you get all the perks associated with it.
Yeah. Right, and you get front row seats to the stage and what's going on.
Nice, nice. And another thing that sort of caught my eye was this I Saved a Life story. There's some sort of submission thing that you can do. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, we sent out our email blast a couple of nights ago, and we're looking for stories about how ACT or possibly working with ACT or taking your dog to be or cat to be treated at ACT help save their life. Or even if it's a story about a rescue and you only had a minimal contact with ACT, if something happened where you worked with an animal and ACT was part of it and you saved that animal's life, please tell us that story. You can submit them to story@actampa.org. That's the email address, story, just S-T-O-R-Y, @actampa.org. And we'll probably feature it either in an upcoming email blast or possibly in a special section on our website.
Nice. Cool. So you can participate from that angle as well. So, all right. Well, gosh, we're sort of nearing the end of our time. So, again, we've been speaking with Frank Hamilton and Ken Donofrio from the Animal Coalition of Tampa. The annual Stride for Strays fundraiser is this Sunday, October 19th, Raymond James Stadium. There's a dedicated website strictly for that, strideforstrays.org. And ACT, Animal Coalition of Tampa, has, of course, its own website, actampa.org. And if you're just thinking, well, I can't deal with two websites, you go to actampa.org, and that'll take you if you choose to go to Stride for Strays. So it couldn't be easier. So now one last thing, what kind of turnout, it sounds like it looks promising, but what kind of turnout are you expecting on Sunday?
Wow, we've got several hundred walkers signed up. And again, we have a lot of people come up. But we usually run about 1,000, maybe 2,000 people on the day of the event. And again, because this year it is such a record year for us for Stride, this is going to be our biggest one ever. We're not exactly even sure. We're planning for the best.
Well, the more the merrier, not only for the fun to be had, but also to hopefully get a few more dollars in the kitty to help rebuild the clinic and keep things functioning.
And just get the word out.
Yeah.
You know, the more people, every time we think that people are aware of us, we find out people aren't. So this also helps us get the word out that there is some place in town that you can take your animal for accessible and affordable medical care.
Great. Yeah. So it is a kind of a gigantic outreach on top of everything else. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Frank Hamilton and Ken Donofrio, thank you so much from Animal Coalition of Tampa. Again, one more time, it's actampa.org or strideforstrays.org. We'll see everybody Sunday at Raymond James Stadium. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
In a moment, we'll speak with Patricia Massari about the Tampa Bay Walk for Farm Animals, a fundraising event for Farm Sanctuary happening in just over 2 weeks, November 1st at Spa Beach Park in St. Petersburg. Right now, it's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. This is a giveaway. You do not need to be a WMNF member to win, though we certainly encourage you to become a member. Pledge now at WMNF.org, and there'll be a prize. A pair of tickets to see Jeff Corwin, Tales from the Field, a presentation by the biologist and Animal Planet host, November 1st at the Straz Center. So the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song, a wonderfully reinvented version performed by the rock star who wrote it, on his recent U.S. tour. Okay, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
you stay. Hey, hey, baby, when you walk that way, won't you honey drip? I can't keep away.
I think it might be kind of a gimme. We'll see. We got all lines lit. Hold on one sec. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros.
Okay, so you're not only not naming the animal tune, you're naming the wrong band. But I appreciate your enthusiasm. Thank you so much. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Fire away.
Black Dog?
That's exactly right. Robert Plant totally reinvented it on the tour. What is your first name, sir?
Mike.
Thanks for playing.
Okay.
Right now, to find out a little bit more about the Tampa Bay Walk for Farm Animals, let's welcome Patricia Massari back to Talking Animals. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Duncan.
Thanks for joining us again on Talking Animals.
Thank you.
We've done this dance once or twice before, but again, we figure people listening may not have heard it, may have forgotten somehow, which is criminal, but we'll deal with that at another time. So tell us exactly what the Walk for Farm Animals is and the key details, where and when, et cetera.
Sure. The Walk for Farm Animals is it's an annual fundraiser and awareness raiser for Farm Sanctuary, which is a large national advocacy organization with three farms, and they do a lot of legislative work, as well as really, I feel like, some of the most effective vegan outreach out there. So each year, we have about 30 walks in the United States, one in Vancouver and one in Toronto. We just walk to raise funds for their mission and for their farms. So that's basically what it is. And the one in Tampa Bay area is going to be November 1st. Registration is at 10 a.m. And then the walk starts at 11. It's a really lovely walk. It starts at Spa Beach Park, which is in downtown St. Pete, right adjacent to the pier. And it's like a really lovely 2.6-mile walk around the Vinoy and around the water. And then we come back and we have lunch, vegan Cuban picadillo, and VLTs from Cafe Hay, and Michael Miller's going to play some music for us for the Heart Machine.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like, now, of course, I think I teased you about this last year. So let's just be clear, the Tampa Bay Walk for Animals is actually getting started in St. Pete.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
The Tampa Bay area.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just horsing around. But yeah. So that's cool. So again, it's to raise money for Farm Sanctuary, but I think as part and parcel of that, of course, it's raising awareness.
Absolutely. And I think that that's something that they do really, really well with their whole, with their rescues and their animals who become ambassadors and their whole Someone Not Something project, because they help people to raise awareness about animals not unlike our dogs and cats that are so often forgotten in the name of tradition or, you know, what we're used to eating. So I think they do a really good job of letting the animals be ambassadors and through their stories of rescue, educating about what it's like for animals on farms.
For sure.
Yeah.
Patricia, you know, you said the sort of sign-up registration is at 10 a.m. that date. Now,
you can register online as well.
Right, beforehand.
Yes.
Right, okay, so maybe you could give the website for people interested in either finding out more and or registering in advance.
Sure, that'd be great. It's walkforfarmanimals.org. You can go there and find the Tampa Bay Walk and register in advance. And you can also go to our Facebook page, Tampa Bay Walk for Farm Animals, and that would also give you that link.
Cool.
As well.
Just since this kind of, in some ways, carries over from our chat with Ken and Frank, are people allowed to walk with their animals of one kind or another?
Yes, they're encouraged to walk with well-behaved children, animals, you know, fur kids, human kids.
Cool.
Yeah, they're more than welcome to do that. And we will actually, for the fourth year running, we will have a pig friend ambassador from Prissy and Bomber's Pigfin, which is a local pig sanctuary, which I really love having the ambassadors there because it's such in the spirit of farm sanctuary for people to get to know these animals they may not be as familiar with and understand that they truly are someone and not something. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, anytime you can have a pig as an ambassador, I think you're way ahead of the game.
Always a great thing.
Absolutely, yeah. So well, this all sounds really great, Patricia. So again, that's November 1st. We got a little over 2 weeks to plan, make your plans for that day, and then go to walkforfarmanimals.org in the meantime to find out details or to register if you're an early bird type, which you should be. Just sounds like it's going to be a great day for a great cause, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you so much, Duncan.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us again on Talking Animals,
right,
Patricia. Good luck.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. Let's step now into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. This is Drew Hastings with a portion of a piece called Farming 101. On a sort of related note to our chat with Richard, on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I lived out there for a month before I figured out that red stick on my mailbox wasn't a country 911 system. It is not easy. I'm going to make it work. I don't give up. Livestock, that's my dream. Livestock, man. But I'll tell you what, people think it's easy. You read up on it and it's... No, uh-uh. My first deal, I got ripped off. I bought a herd of Black Angus hogs, right? I thought they looked short coming off the truck. Pygmy cattle my ass. I've tried growing crops, but you'd find more cornrows on an NFL team than I could pull off my land. So I called Mr. Grimes. He's the county ag agent for my county, you know, like the Mr. Kimball dude, right? And I call him. He comes out, you know, takes soil samples, talks to me extensively about my background. Well, he tells me the best thing for me to plant is a for sale sign in the front yard.
That was Drew Hastings with part of a piece called Farming 101, taken from his album Irked and Miffed. Right now it's time for some animal news and announcements. Before we get into that, though, I do want to acknowledge the sad passing of Karen Corin, who died recently. I was unable to mention this before now because the fun drive has been off the last two Wednesdays, at least in terms of normal shows. You may recall that Karen and her husband have operated the Critter Place, a sanctuary in Wekiwachi that's taken in an array of abused, neglected, or abandoned animals for about 25 years. Ted was a guest on Talking Animals more than 2 years ago when we discussed the history of the Critter Place, some of the sanctuary's animals, and the hardships they were battling. Ted had been laid off from his job. Karen was being treated for ovarian cancer. Then about a year ago, I invited Ted back on the show for a brief chat, chiefly because their struggles had deepened, including that they had received a foreclosure notice on the sanctuary property. I announced their website, thecritterplace.weebly.com, in case listeners wanted to donate to help them. I also mentioned that Ted had launched a handyman business as a way to mitigate the financial crunch of being laid off. Some jerk, who was listening took exception to all this, complaining to the station manager, wondering how his moving company could get the same sort of promotion. And I actually got in trouble. Hell, I'd do it again, though. In fact, after Karen passed and knowing that Ted had taken an unpaid leave from the job that he eventually did land to look after Karen and all the animals, single-handedly pretty much, my family made a substantial donation to the Critter Place. Again, the website is thecritterplace.weebly.com, and on Facebook, simply search for The Critter Place. Rest in peace, Karen. Again, my condolences, Ted. Got a big, big, big adoption event coming up this weekend. This weekend's jam-packed. We obviously have Stride on Sunday, but this Saturday, October 18th, is Dogtoberfest, the Mega Matchathon. So it's an event, adoption event at three locations, the Humane Society on 3607 North Armenia Avenue, at Animal-Based Charities at Yingling, at 11111 North 30th Street, and at the Pet Resource Center on 440 North Falkenberg Road. And just, they're hoping, I think, to adopt out at least 200 animals that day. So go to dogtoberfesttampa.com. Find out more about the hours and how you can get involved, but it's going to be a huge extravaganza and a great way to find a bunch of animals' homes. I want to briefly mention a couple more sort of news-type items as we almost are out of time here. I was happy to see a couple weeks ago that Arthur Frommer, the syndicated sort of pioneering founder of the Frommer Travel Guides, in his newspaper column, was writing about sort of have his discovery, epiphany, I guess it is, about SeaWorld and how he used to sort of marvel at and recommend going to SeaWorld and how he has realized that was a mistake and no longer does. So you can find that online, Arthur Frommer. Again, huge impact, and nice to see someone come to that realization that's sending people on trips and recommending what they should and shouldn't see. And lastly, did you hear about the California parrot that vanished for 4 years? He had a British accent when he went missing and returned speaking only Spanish. That's a cool story, too. Find that online any number of places. All right, we'll get into more stuff next week. We have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. I'll be back next Wednesday, October 22nd, when my guest will be Mindy Smith, the acclaimed singer-songwriter, who was commissioned by the PBS series Shelter Me to write a theme song for that project. There's now a lovely promotional video set to Smith's song, and she has spearheaded an album of tunes by other musicians called Songs for Shelter Me, which was released last week. I'll chat with Mindy Smith about all this, and we'll hear her song, Shelter Me, fantastic song, by the way, next Wednesday on Talking Animals. I hope you'll join me then. Meanwhile, this is Talking Animals on WMNF, Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weekiwatchee, and beyond, community conscious radio. Thanks for listening. Speak with you again next Wednesday at 9 a.m. on Talking Animals.